Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. After the release of their 2009 breakout album, Bida Orca, the band Dirty Projectors became synonymous with layered, conceptual indie rock. Current members of the band are Nat Baldwin, Amber Kaufman, Mike Johnson, Haley Deckel, and David Longstreth. Thus far in their just over a decade history, David Longstreth and Dirty Projectors haven't done the same thing twice. Their most recent album, Swing Low Magellan, was released last year by Domino USA, and it's an album of, according to Longstreth, songs and songwriting. Previous albums have been conceptual, from 2005's The Getty Address, an album about musician Don Henley, to 2007's Rise Above, which is all Black Flag songs as reimagined from memory, to Mount Wittenberg Orca, an EP the band did with Bjork, with songs about and sung to a pod of whales. Swing Low Magellan is a collection of songs on a record, not tied to one idea or story.
There was a single one, then there were ten made 100 and 100 million. You came and spoke to me, I saw your face. Your words were like raindrops from a stormy.
Projectors are playing a handful of shows in the WAMC listening area in the coming weeks. This Saturday, April 13th, they'll be at Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs, New York, and on Monday, April 15th, they'll play Pearl Street in Northampton, Massachusetts. Dirty Projectors frontman David Longstreth joins us now. David Longstreth, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Could you start by telling me a little bit about your songwriting process? I know that's a sort of standard question, but I think it's where we'll begin anyway, if you don't mind.
Sure. With me, it's sort of hard to generalize because I like to confuse myself. I like to switch things up and try it a different way every time. I guess more often than not, it starts with me just kind of sitting on the edge of the bed with a guitar and coming up with a melody, coming up with some chords, and everything comes after that.
Do you make time to write, or are you sort of always working on it?
Yeah, I should probably make more time in my life for other things, but that's usually what comes first, which is weird because it's sort of a defocused state a little bit. It's not, you can't exactly sit down and say, I'm going to write a song right now. But I guess what I do is just spend a lot of time sitting down, seeing if I'll write a song.
When you have to do something else, one example being, you know, this interview was scheduled, so if you had been sitting with a guitar just now and then the phone rang and you had to speak with me, is that upsetting generally, or is it, you know, part of your day-to-day life as you sit and write? And you have to do other things, too.
Like, do I get cranky if I have to address reality?
I guess, yeah.
I'd like to think not. I'd like to think that I maintain equanimity and good humor across normal experience. I don't really know. No, I mean, you know, it's a balance. The more time I can spend in that kind of defocused state, I don't know. I like spending time there. I like being there.
The recordings of your songs are layered and nuanced. How do they translate from the recording process to live performance? What kind of work do you have to do to get them to be able to be performed live?
Yeah, I guess we just sort of practice. With Dirty Projectors, there's a lot of vocal stuff, and then there's a lot of stuff happening with the instruments sometimes, too. And so generally what we do is have practices that are just about singing, me and Amber, Haley, and Olga. And then we'll also have just instrumental practices, and a lot of those are just me, Matt, and Mike. And then I think, you know, once you learn both the parts, the singing and the playing, then there's this kind of chaotic period when you're trying to do both at the same time. But I don't know. It's like anything, you know, the more times you do it, the more natural it becomes.
Is there anything lost or anything gained in that process from how you've decided on it for the record to how you will do it live?
I think, there's definitely something lost and there's definitely something gained. Just like Joni Mitchell said. You know, recordings are like, it's a capture of a moment, you know, and the moment will never happen again. And sometimes it has, some kind of magic in it, which is, I don't know, I guess why recordings are pleasurable to listen to or can be. You know, obviously, like, what happens live is totally different. It has, like, this other kind of energy. It has, like, a visceral thing. And so, I like when a band has, like, a vibe on recording, and then they have, like, a different but complementary vibe live, you know, mm-hmm. where you trade some of the ineffable or the magical of the recording for something that's very, like, physical and present. In the live show, and we try to do that.
Before I came into the studio, I was finishing up my second viewing of High Custodian, is a short film you made to go with your most recent album, Swing Low Magellan. What inspired you to make the film?
I don't know. I just kind of wanted to.
Okay.
I don't know what inspired me exactly. Like, we were going to. Both Amber and the people at our record label were really kind of pushing for me to direct the videos this time around because, I don't know, we had, like, making the Stillness is the Move video was really incredible. It was a great experience on Vita Orca, but then we had sort of a difficult time with a couple of other videos where, I don't know, whatever, just classic stuff, like where things don't end up happening or things don't end up coming out right. And I'm somewhat of a perfectionist, I guess. So I killed a couple of videos on the Vita album cycle. And I think the record label correctly reasoned that if I was directing them, I wouldn't let them die. So I wrote a couple of these treatments for... songs from the record, and then pretty soon the different images and ideas from the videos were bleeding into one another. And so I just kind of thought, what if we just made this psychedelic tripper of a 20-minute short film? And miraculously, Domino, the record label, and Pitchfork and YouTube, who were paying for the whole thing, were on board. So that's kind of how we did it.
That helps if the people paying don't mind the project.
There were definitely like some meetings where it felt like we were like convincing them to do this thing, and I had no idea whether it would work or actually be a thing. But it worked out. I don't know. It was an amazing experience doing it. It was I had never done anything like that. Nobody in the band ever had. We made an amazing. New friend in the cinematographer, Bobby Bukowski, who is, I don't know, just a magical person who shot it. And he feels like sort of a mentor to me now. Learned so much from him. And yeah, we were just talking the other day. He was like, you gotta write another movie. We have to shoot it. So that was, it was a great experience.
You've previously released concept albums or albums based around one idea. The Getty Address was a concept album about musician Don Henley. Rise Above was an album of Black Flag songs reimagined from memory. Mount Wittenberg Orca is about a pod of whales. How do the songs from those albums fit into a live show for you when they're removed from their context and played with songs that are like from Swing Low Magellan, which isn't based on any one idea?
Yeah. It just happens, you know. It's like, to me, like, there are definitely the songs in the Getty Address, for example, are part of this larger story, but you can take some of them out and just have them exist on their own. And in the end, it's just like anything in your life, you know, like the original context of this or that falls away and all you have is the thing, but that thing still makes sense in its own new way.
A few years ago, I guess it must have been when Bit of Orca came out and you guys were on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, I remember being excited that you were going to be on and then being doubly excited that Questlove, the drummer and band leader for The Roots, who's of course Jimmy's house band on that show, he was very excited about you guys and tweeted about you a lot in the, you know, around the few days that you were on. Does that kind of attention matter to you?
Well, there's nobody like Amir. Amir is utterly unique. He's a polymath, and he's like, he knows more about more music than anybody I've ever met. So, yeah, when Amir is excited about what you're doing, that's like an incredible honor. That's so cool. Yeah, getting to know him and the Roots guys a little bit the last couple of years has been, it's really cool. Those guys are awesome. And, you know, every time we play on the Fallon show, it's really cool. Like, the Roots are awesome, and Jimmy is really cool. Everybody on the show is really, really nice. Yeah, that's been an amazing experience every time.
You've collaborated, as you know, with David Byrne and Bjork. Is there anyone else that you have on sort of a wish list for collaboration? Anybody you'd like to work with?
I don't know. You know, I don't think about it that way. Like, those collaborations were amazing. They just kind of popped up, you know, various friends of, like, both of us saying, like, you guys should do this for this thing. And it coming together that way. But I had never really thought about, you know, working with either of them. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you get something out of it every time you work with, like, an artist, but particularly one that you love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I hope it happens again.
Swing Low Magellan came out eight or nine-ish months ago. Are you still concentrating on the songs from that record, or are you looking toward your next recording project?
Both. You know, we're playing a bunch of shows this summer, but definitely in the time that we're not on tour, I'm writing new stuff.
David, thank you so much for joining me today, and I am psyched to see you guys at Skidmore.
Awesome. Yeah, cool talking to you.
Dirty Projectors are playing at Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs on April 13th, at Pearl Street in Northampton, Massachusetts on Monday, April 15th, and at Higher Ground in Burlington, Vermont on Thursday, April 18th. To learn more, visit dirtyprojectors.net. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
If there is ever the impregnable question of why, what did or didn't pass, it would help to seek comfort in destiny. But I really don't, we don't see eye to eye. But I need you, and you're always on my mind. Whether there is or isn't.